It was about 4 years ago when the elders started looking at all of the works of this church, everything that our deacons were doing, everything that the various members of this congregation were leading and the different works that were being done, and they wanted to get it organized and fashioned and structured and brought under one umbrella and one system together, and that's where laborers together with God, at least what we are doing with laborers together with God, that's where it started about 4 years ago. As our elders wanted to make sure we were doing all that we could do, make sure that we were organized in our works in the very best way that we could be, and how exciting it has been over these last couple years to be able to do even more than we were able to do before, to be able to structure the work in such a way that more members have been able to be a part of various works in the last few years than have been a part of them before. And it's been an exciting time as we have truly labored together with God. That was not a phrase that the elders came up with. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, if you have your Bibles open, you may open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll start there this morning and then go over and look at some passages in the book of Acts in just a few minutes. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, if you have the Old King James, that's what it says in the Old King James, that we are laborers together with God. And what a thought that is in and of itself. We've talked this morning about the fact that we are able, by the great love and privilege of God, to enter into the very presence of God as we worship Him. We're not some distance from God as we worship Him. We are not here and He off in some distant place of heaven. We are in the very presence of God as we worship Him today. And in like fashion, when we labor with the church, when we work with the church and the various tasks and works that the elders and the deacons have put together, we're not laboring here on this earth and God is in some distant place. What a thought that we get to be laborers together with God. But I want you to think about each of those words in that phrase. The Bible says that as Christians, we are laborers. That may not have a positive ring in your mind. There's some folks who look at the word labor, and that's the furthest thing from their mind when they think about being a Christian, or at least the furthest thing they want to be in their mind when they think about being a Christian. Being a Christian requires work. It requires labor. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, where Paul talks about himself and Apollos in verse 5, and he says, "Who are we? Who are we?" New King James says, "but ministers." New American Standard says, "Who are we but servants?" What do servants do? Oh, they serve. They work. They labor. What kind of labor were Paul and Apollos involved in? They were involved in planting and watering. I've never been any good at planting and watering, because I came to understand that there was more than just sticking something in a pot and more than just pouring some water over its head. You know, when you're involved in planting and watering, if you go back to the day and time when this is written, it wasn't talking about something you put in a pot. It's talking about something you do out in the field. When you talk about planting and watering, that's real work. That's real labor. For those who have worked out on the farm, they know how real that is. That's not something you do whenever you feel like it. That's something you do every day. And as laborers with God, laboring with Him is something that we do every day. Not just something we do on Sundays. Not just something we do when there's a special occasion. It's something that is a part of our lives. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, God says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." That's why we've been made. That's why we've been created. Not to decide and to do those things that bring us the most joy, but to decide and to do the things that bring Him the most joy. For we are His workmanship, to be workers in His vineyard. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus talked about the fact that there is plenty of work to be done. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so Jesus told his disciples, pray the Lord of harvest that he will send laborers into his field. Are you in God's field? The end of verse 9, the Bible says, we are God's field. Are we working in God's field? Are we working in God's vineyard? Gary, thank you for leading those songs this morning about working. Work for the night is coming. That I want to be. I don't just have to be a worker. I want to be a worker for the Lord in his vineyard. And I know it takes work, but the fact is I don't have to do it on my own. We are laborers together. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you're not a Christian all by yourself? Aren't you glad that you're not a Christian trying to live the Christian life all by yourself? Aren't you glad that when you became a Christian, that God added you to his body, added you to his church, so that you have a family, you have a body, you have a church that you are a part of, so that when you get ready to work and to labor in the vineyard of God, that you're not doing it alone. It's one of the greatest blessings of being a part of the Lord's church is the togetherness that we have. Not just the togetherness that we have as we come together to worship God together, but the togetherness that we have in every aspect of being a Christian. In every aspect of the work of the Lord's church, being able to be together, to work together. And that's what you see in verse 8. He who plants and he who waters are what? They're one. It's not that the one who goes out and plants does it all by himself. And it's not that the one who goes out and waters does it all by himself and has no connection with anybody else. He who plants and he who waters are one. And every member of this congregation, as we seek to labor together for God, we don't do it on our own. We're able to do it together. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, the Bible says that we are to strive together for the faith of the gospel. Literally, we strive side by side, arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder, for the faith of the gospel. You know, that's what makes work easier. That's what makes laboring easier. Is having someone to do it with you. Having a partner. Having multiple people to help you in that labor. It makes it more enjoyable. It makes it easier. And it helps us to accomplish it even that much quicker. But also notice that we're not just laborers. We're not just laborers together. But the emphasis of that together is that we are laborers together with God. You know, there are some individuals who are really easy to work with. And then there are the other people who are not so easy to work with. There are some individuals who are easy to work for. And then there are the other ones who are not as easy to work for. When we have the opportunity to work together with God, could there be anyone better to work with? Could there be anyone better to work for? Notice what God gives. Notice the word give in these four verses, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. Look at the word give in these verses. What does God do for us as we work with Him? And first, in verse 5, if you have the New American Standard, says that it's not just at the end of verse 5 that as the Lord gave to each one. Paul says that here's Apollos and here's Paul. And what are we but ministers? We are servants. And the New American Standard, I believe it's the New American Standard, that says to whom God has given the opportunity. God gives us the opportunity to work together. He gives that to us. He provides us with that opportunity. But he doesn't just give us that. Notice in the next, down in verse 7. So neither he who plants is anything. Don't get your head, Don't get a big head thinking you're all that. Neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but it is God who not only gives us the opportunity, but what else does God do? God gives us the increase. We don't have to worry about the end product. We don't have to worry about the growth. We don't have to worry about what is going to happen as the end result, because God is going to take care of that. If we get involved in laboring together, side by side with each other, one person planting, one person watering, but we're all working together, all we need to be focused on is serving our God and doing what He bids us to do, and let God take care of the growth. Because it's God who has promised to give the increase, not only the increase to what we do here on this earth, but look down in verse 8. Nor he who plants, now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will be given something. God gives us the opportunity in verse 5. He gives the increase in verse 7. What does he give in verse 8? Each one will be given. Each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Our reward eternally. Our eternal reward is tied directly to, you'll see the words according to, is tied directly to our labor. What an awesome privilege. It's not our work, it's His work. It's not our growth, it's His growth. It's not our reward, it's His reward that He gives to us. What an awesome privilege that we have to be laborers together with God. Now, I want us to go back into that first century world. And I want us to think about, what was it to the early church to be a laborer together with God? What kind of things did they do? What did it mean to them to have opportunities to serve? If you were there in the first century, if you were a part of the New Testament church 2,000 years ago, and you had the opportunity to serve the Lord, you had an opportunity to be laborers, what kind of things would you be involved in doing? Go back to the book of Acts. And I just want us to look through just a few things in the book of Acts. And I want you to see, do any of these things sound familiar to you? What kind of things did the early church do? What kind of opportunities did they have when they became members of the church? What kind of things did they do in serving in the church? Look in Acts chapter 5. Start in Acts chapter 5, and we're going to go through some of these kind of quickly, just to see what kind of things did they do. Look at the last verse. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. What was one of the things the early church did? They conducted in-home Bible studies. That's something that they did. Does that sound familiar? As something that we can do as a part of the body of Christ. One of the things that they did is the very same thing that we can be a part of today. They were doing it every day in each other's homes. Look at the next verse. You got to skip over the chapter. Look at the next verse. What else were they doing? Well, there was something that they were not doing that they were supposed to be doing and that they rectified and remedied in doing, and that is they were taking care of their widows. The first six verses of Acts chapter 6 are focused upon one activity of the church, and that is that they took care of their widows. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like something that we can be involved in doing today, that the church can do today? Go over to Acts chapter 8. Look at Acts chapter 8. What was something else that this early church, what were some of the other opportunities that they had? Here's an interesting one. Acts chapter 8 and verse 2. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation for him. You know, there were some jobs in the New Testament that there probably weren't many people that wanted to do them. The undesirable jobs, the dirty jobs, the jobs that, do I really have to do that? These weren't funeral home directors in Acts chapter 8 and verse 2. These were devout men. These were members of the church. And after Stephen was put to death, somebody had to take his body and bury it. Now, That's not one of the opportunities to serve that we have here specifically in this congregation, but are there some opportunities that are not so desirable? If you were to go back three chapters to Acts chapter 5, when Ananias died, there were young men who were there. They carried him off to be buried. When Sapphira died, remember what Peter said to her? The same men are standing outside the door ready to take you. I don't want that job. Find me something else. But sometimes there's things that are just not all that desirable. In Acts chapter 15, when the church met and talked about circumcision, and talked about the Gentiles in the church, and they wrote a letter to be sent out to all the other congregations, how is that letter going to get there? Are they going to stick it in an envelope? You know, seal the envelope, put a first-class postage on it, you know, one of those forever stamps, stick that on there, stick it in the mailbox. Okay, we did our job. Is that what they're going to do? You read Acts chapter 15, what did they do? They selected men to be the couriers. How would you like that job? I'm doing fine and dandy, just fine myself. I think I'd just like to stay here in town with my family. No, we need individuals who will travel here and yon and everywhere and deliver these letters. Maybe not the most glorious job in the church. Maybe not the most desirable thing to be done, but there were members of the church who were doing those things. Go over to Acts chapter 9. At the end of Acts chapter 9, or in the middle of Acts chapter 9, before we get to the end of Acts chapter 9, in Acts chapter 9, verse 26, we see a member of the church who helped a new member create some relationships in the church. In Acts 9, verse 26, Saul, who had just been converted in Damascus, who had just become a Christian. He had been persecuting Christians before that. He had just become a Christian. Saul came to Jerusalem. And when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join himself under the church there in Jerusalem. But the church wouldn't have him. But they were all afraid of him. They did not believe that he was a disciple. He is what? A new convert. He's a new Christian. He's come to town. And the church will not receive him. In verse 27, what do you have at the beginning of verse 27? Church would not receive him in verse 26, but Barnabas. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him, how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so he was with them. Who? The disciples, the church who would not receive him at first. He was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. What did that early church have? What kind of opportunities did they have to serve? They had opportunities to help new members become a part of the church. To help new members create bonds with members of the church so that they didn't feel like an outsider because they were new. Go down to verse 36, same chapter. Acts chapter 9, verse 36. You see a woman who used her skills, used her talents, used that which she was able to do. And what did she do? Tabitha, also translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did for the church. And there are women who were there showing the things that she had made for them. Here was a woman who took what she knew, took what she was good at, and she used that ability to serve the church. Do these things sound familiar? They sound like things that we can be involved in. Go to chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 23. In Acts 11 and verse 23, Barnabas came. He saw the grace of God in Antioch. He was glad. And look at what he does in verse 23. He encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. When you come and read through the book of Acts, you come upon several times where individuals, members of the church, built each other up, motivated each other, commended each other. Don't give up. Keep on serving the Lord. Are those opportunities that we have today? Are those things that we can do? Look at verse 25, same chapter, chapter 11 and verse 25. Barnabas is in the city of Antioch. He's been sent there to work. So what does he do in verse 25? Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And what did he do when he found Saul? When he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. And so that it was for a whole year, they assembled with the church and they taught the people there. Here was a Christian named Barnabas who saw an opportunity to work in the city of Antioch. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to do this by myself. He didn't look at it and say, well, it's all on me. I got to take care of this load all by myself. No, he went and he found somebody else named Saul, said, come over here. How about you come and help me with this? He got somebody else involved in the work. There was an activity of the church, and he called him up and said, hey, you want to come over and be a part of this? We're going to do this with the church today. How about you come over and hang out with us today? Does that sound like something that we could do? The opportunities that we have today are very similar to the opportunities that even the early church had. You go to chapter 12. In chapter 12, in verse 5, the church was together and they were praying for each other. Think about that. Are there opportunities today where we have to pray for one another in chapter 12 and verse 5? Look in chapter 12 and verse 12. Not only were they praying together, but they were gathered in somebody's home doing it. They were gathered in the home of Mary. She was hosting a church event in her home. She's hosting a prayer meeting in her home. She's a hospitable woman who is gathering the church in her home for a church activity. Is that something that we can do today? Is there an opportunity for us to do that today, to gather people into our homes? You see in verse 13 that there was an opportunity for a girl to go and answer the door, to go and greet the guests who are coming. Do we have greeters at our front door? Now, our greeters need to do a better job than Rhoda did. Rhoda didn't open the door when Peter got there. So hopefully we have greeters at our assembly doors who are opening the doors. But here was Rhoda. Who was going to open the door? Well, Rhoda was supposed to. That was her opportunity to serve. Go over to chapter 14. Well, stay here. Go to the end of chapter 12. The end of chapter 12, Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem after they had fulfilled their ministry. They also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. The end of verse 5 of the next chapter, John Mark was with them as their assistant. You go to chapter 16 of Paul's second missionary journey. He comes to Lystra and he takes Timothy with him. What did the early church do? They encouraged their young people. Is that an opportunity that we have? Is that something that we can do as the Lord's body in this place, encourage our young people? Now go to chapter 14. In chapter 14 and verse 28, the last verse of the chapter says that the missionaries came, Paul and Barnabas. Missionaries came and they stayed there a long time with the disciples. If you were to read through the book of Acts, you're going to find over and over where the early church took care of its missionaries. When Paul was in Tarsus and his life was in danger, they lowered him in a basket outside the door, outside the wall. I don't know if that's an opportunity to serve here or not. I don't know if we're looking for anybody to lower our missionaries down outside the wall, but are there opportunities to interface with our missionaries? Opportunities to help and to serve and to do things for our missionaries. The early church did it. And there's opportunities for us to do the same. Go over to chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 34. When he brought them into his house, the jailer brought Paul and Silas into his home after he'd been baptized. He set food before them. Now we're talking. Now we're going somewhere. He set food before them. If there's any opportunity in the Lord's church to serve, isn't this it? Provide food for those who are in need of food. If there's nothing else we know how to do in the church, it's how to make a casserole and take it to somebody's house, isn't it? I mean, if there's something we know how to do, it's to provide food. And the early church did that, and it's not just here in chapter 16. It's in other places as well. You get over to chapter 24, and they were visiting Paul while he was in prison. Members of the church coming and visiting him. Is that something we can do? To visit each other? In chapter 18, verse 27, you read about Apollos, and it says that he greatly helped the brethren. That's what he did. That's how he was known, as a helper of the brethren. In chapter 20 and verse 7, the Bible says, on the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. What were they doing in Acts 20 and verse 7? They're partaking of the Lord's Supper. Question, who prepared the Lord's Supper so that they could partake of it in Acts 20 and verse 7? Somebody had to make it. Somebody had to follow the recipe to make the unleavened bread, didn't they? Somebody had to prepare the Lord's Supper, an opportunity to serve. What do you read in Acts 20 and verse 8? This is an interesting verse, and it's interesting because you wonder, why is this verse in the Bible? Well, I came up with another reason maybe it's in the Bible. Acts 20 and verse 8 is where the Bible says there were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. Why does the Bible tell us that? Maybe the Bible tells us that because it was somebody's job to get there, to open the assembly hall, to turn the lights on, or to light the lights, to trim the light. It was somebody's job to come and open the building, turn the lights on, and then guess what they would need to do afterwards? Turn all the lights off and lock the place up. I don't know if that's why that verse is in Acts 20 and verse 8, but you know somebody had to do that. It was an opportunity to serve. In Acts 20 and verse 35, Paul said, we have the responsibility to support the weak, to find opportunities to do that. You go through the book of Acts. You see what you can find. This is only, what, 17 or 18 opportunities that the early church took to serve each other. Do any of these sound familiar? Do any of these sound like things that we can do? Today in this congregation, if you're visiting with us and don't know it, we have called today our Laborers Together with God Sunday. Because today is the day where we look at 1 Corinthians 3 and remember that we are laborers together with God. Today is the day where we have an opportunity to have presented to us some opportunities to serve in the church. And so on the table where you came in this morning that was covered over and that you were not allowed to look until after services, there are opportunities for us to serve. Here's what the elders did. About four years ago, they took all of the works of the church, and much of this structure was already in place before that. But they divided the works of the church into these areas that you see on the screen. We have areas, we have opportunities to serve in spreading the gospel. We have opportunities to serve in the area of loving one another in edification. We have opportunities to serve in equipping our young people and our adults in our education program. We have opportunities to serve in doing good unto all men through our different benevolent opportunities. We have opportunities to serve in our worship in order that our worship might be done decently and in order. We have opportunities to serve in this congregation all around the building, all around the grounds here. God has given us these 12 acres in this building to be stewards. To be stewards of these possessions. And so in all six of these categories, the elders and the deacons spent the last several months reviewing what we have done. They've spent the last several months looking at, here's what we've done for the last few years. What do we need to continue to do? What new works can we add? What new opportunities can we give to the members to get involved in? And so as a result of that, out on the table in the lobby, as you leave today, there are booklets, opportunities to serve booklets. And for members of this congregation, there is a booklet out there with your name on it. So if you don't pick up your booklet, we will know that you did not pick up. There, for members of this congregation, there are booklets out there and they have your name on it. And inside the booklet are 257. If that's not enough for you, you just come up with some more. 257 unique opportunities for you to get involved in the work of the church here. Now, if you've been a member of this congregation for more than 2 years, you know that 2 years ago, we did the same thing. We had a booklet out there 2 years ago that had just over 300 works in it. And many of those have been completed, and that's why they're no longer in the book. But this book's going to last us a little longer than 2 years. We're intending for this to go on for a number of years to use this book as the foundation of the various works that members of this church can get involved in. And so this is a 40-something page booklet, 45-page booklet with 257 works. You don't have to read all the pages. And it's very easy anyway because there's only a few words on each page. But we want to encourage you today, when you leave here, to stop by the table and to pick up one of these books and just start flipping through it. You will see those six major categories and then subcategories within each of the major categories. And they're all in bold print headings, and you'll be able to skim through it. And you'll find areas say, well, that's not what I'm involved in. You know, some of the men of this congregation, when you get to that page where it's got wedding showers and baby showers, you know, you just whoop, you know, I have to flip right on past that. That is not for you, okay? The ladies don't want you involved in those showers anyway, all right? And when you get to the page about the baby nursery and the monitoring the babies in the nursery during worship, guys, just flip on past that page. You're not wanted there either, okay? So that's what I'm saying. Some of these pages, you're just going to be able to go right on through them. They're not for me. But you'll find some areas where, you know, that's interesting to me. And under those major categories are these specific works that the deacons have laid out, spelling out for you, here's what's involved in this. Here's what we need somebody to do. And so we want to encourage you to get your booklet this morning, to read through it, to see the opportunities that you have, and to spend some time praying about it. Remember, we're not just laborers. Remember, we're not just laborers together. Remember, we're laborers together with God. What kind of laborers would we be if we flip through a book, find what we want to do, and we never talk to God about what we want to do for Him, what He can do with us? Spend some time praying about these things. Spend some time praying, saying, God, where do I need to work? Where's the best place for me to get involved? And as you do that, we have this divided, each of these works, you have two places where you can volunteer for these works. You can either indicate that you are zealous, I really want to do this work. Or you might be willing. Maybe you're not zealous to do it, but you would be willing to do it. So here's what a typical page looks like in this booklet. And I think I put Dick Kelly's work up here about visitation to the hospitals and the nursing homes. And here's two opportunities. And I don't know if you can read this, but all you've got to do, there is a Z column and there is a W column. There is a zealous column and here is a willing column. And as you flip through the book, if you find those areas where you have a strong zeal, a strong desire, this is what I want to do, then you just stick a check mark there. That's what I'm zealous to be involved in. Well, maybe you're not zealous to do it, but as you read through it, you say, you know, if Dick didn't get anybody who was zealous to do it, I'd be willing to do it if he needed me to do it. I may not have that strong, passionate desire to do it, but if nobody else volunteers to do it, if Dick came to me and said, I need you to do this, yeah, I'd be willing to do that. Or I'd be willing to do both of those things that are listed on his page. And so as you flip through this booklet, have your pen ready and remember that you're looking for those things that you're zealous and passionate to do. And here's what we're asking you to do as you go through this booklet, and that is to limit your zeal. You got to bring your zeal under control, all right? None of this out of control zeal in the church, all right? You got to bring your zeal under control and only check off five things that you're zealous to do. You think, wow, that's kind of limited. We've got 400 members in this congregation. If all of us said we're zealous to do 250 some odd different jobs, that's going to be awfully hard for the deacons to figure out, okay, who's really going to do this? So spend some time surveying the book. Find those things, you know, that is what I want to do. And it's limited. You don't have to check five. You can check two or three if it's just those two or three things that you really have a passion to do. And check that off in that Z column next to that work. Now on the willing side. On the willing side, we're not putting a limit on your willing side on what you're willing to do. We would ask you to do this or not do this. We would ask you not to check all 257 of them that you're willing to do. Be more thoughtful involved in that. We had some men a few years ago who checked off some of these showers and the weddings and the cradle roll and there were some even more interesting than that. And we thought, no, don't think we're going to have men involved in that. So be more conscientious and looking at what you, and if you're not willing to do something, don't check it off for sure, because you may be called upon and asked to do that. But here's what happens. The deacons, once all of this information comes in, the deacons are going to gather together and they're going to start looking at everybody who's volunteered to do all of these various works, and they're going to start pulling that together, making assignments and seeing who is it that is zealous to do this, and really start laying out who is it that's going to do this particular task. And so as you go through this book, there may be some things in here or there may be some things that are not in here. Maybe there's something that you really want to do, but you don't find it on these pages. If there's something that you really want to do, but you're not finding it here, on the very last page, the next to last page, is page 44, an area in which you have a strong interest to serve, but it's not in the book. Just write it out. If there's something that you really, if you want to comb the carpet, if that's what you've got a passion to do, is to comb the carpet so that it all lays the same way, just write it on the back page, okay? And the elders will consider it. And then they'll come and talk to you and say, yeah, you really want to comb the carpet? But if that's what you want to do, then write it on the back page and the elders will look at that. Now, if there's something you're already doing and you've got a strong passion, I'm already doing this and I really want to keep doing this, write it on page 45 and say, I'm already doing this. Yeah, it's one of the things that's in here. I've checked zealous next to it, but I'm already doing it. And I want to keep doing it. So please don't take my name off of that. Now, you're wondering, all right, how am I supposed to remember all of this? There's a handy-dandy page 3 instruction page that has all of this information on it. That has the Z for zealous and the W for willing and the 5 limit and the unlimited on the willing. And it tells you what page to do what on this and that. And it also says that we've got 2 weeks to do this. That by Sunday, 2 weeks from now, on the 22nd, we need everyone's booklets returned. There are 2 boxes. I hope you saw them when you came in. On either side of the welcome desk out there, there are 2 boxes that are out there. You just drop them right in the top of the box, and we will be emptying those boxes. We will be taking all of this data. We'll be entering it into the computer. The computer will do all of the computer stuff that the computer always does and spits out the data for us. The deacons will get together and work it all over and make some assignments, and then come back to the congregation, hopefully in short order, and be able to say, here's where we need you to serve. Here's where we need you to get involved. Can you believe that we get to be laborers together with God? What an awesome idea. We're not here by ourselves. We get to be here with each other. And we get to do this work together. And we get to do it side by side with the God of heaven. Thank God for what He's given to us. Thank God for the opportunities that He's given us to serve. May God help us to seriously consider where each of us can get involved in these next few years, where each of us can make a difference, just like they did in the book of Acts. Who would have ever thought that Dorcas could take what she knew how to do and to make such a profound difference on the church in Acts chapter 9. There are some big tasks in here. There are some little tasks in here. There's tasks in here for everyone. Sizes to fit everybody. But may God help us to do everything that we can to find these opportunities and to get busy in His work. When Jesus' parents found Him, do you remember what He said? Did you not know that I must, not that I could be or I ought to be, that I must be about my Father's business? If a 12-year-old could know that, then those of us who are a little older than 12 can know that too. We must be about our Father's business.